Purgatory, Chapter 12. Pains of Purgatory, Bellarmine and Saint Catherine the Admirable. The learned and pious cardinal then proceeds to relate the history of Saint Catherine the Admirable, who lived in Belgium at the close of the 12th century, and whose body is preserved today in Saint Tron, in the Church of the Redemptor's Fathers. The life of this illustrious virgin was, he says, written by Thomas de Contemporary, a religious of the order of Saint Dominic, an author worthy of credit and a contemporary with the saint. Cardinal James de Vitry, in the preface of the life of Maria de Agnes, speaks of a great number of holy women and illustrious virgins, but the one whom he admires above all the others is Saint Catherine, of whom he relates the most wonderful deeds. This servant of God, having passed the first years of her life in humility and patience, died at the age of 32. When she was about to be buried, and the body was already in the church, resting in an open coffin, according to the custom of the time, she arose full of vigor, stupefying with amazement the whole city of Saint Trond, which had witnessed this wonder. The astonishment increased when they learned from her own mouth what had happened to her after her death. Let us hear her own account of it. As soon, she said, as my soul was separated from my body, it was received by angels, who conducted it to a very gloomy place, entirely filled with souls. The torments with which they endured appeared to me so excessive that it is impossible for me to give any idea of their rigor. I saw among them many of my acquaintances, and deeply touched by their sad condition, I asked what place it was, for I believed it to be in hell. My guide answered me that it was purgatory, where sinners were punished, who before death had repented of their faults, but had not made worthy satisfaction to God. From thence I was conducted into hell, and there is also I recognized many of the reprobates whom I have formerly known. The angels then transported me into heaven, even to the throne of the divine majesty. The Lord regarded me with a favorable eye, and I experienced an extreme joy, because I thought to obtain the grace of dwelling eternally with him. But my heavenly Father, seeing that I passed in my heart, said to me these words, "Assuredly, my dear daughter, you will one day be with me. Now, however, I allow you to choose either to remain with me henceforth from this time, or to return to earth to accomplish a mission of charity and sufferings, in order to deliver from the flames of purgatory those souls which have inspired you with so much compassion. You shall suffer for them upon earth, and you shall endure great torments, without, however, dying from their effects. And not only will you receive the departed, but the example which you will give the living, and your life of continual sufferings will lead sinners to be converted and to expiate their crimes. After having ended this new life, you shall return here laden with merits." At these words, seeing the great advantages offered to me for souls, I replied without hesitation that I would return to life, and I arose at that same instant. It is for the sole object, the relief of the departed and the conversion of sinners, that I have returned to the world. Therefore, be not astonished at the penances that I shall practice, nor at the life that you will see me lead from henceforward. It will be so extraordinary that nothing like it will ever be seen. All this was related by the saint herself. Let us now see what the biographer adds in the different chapters of her life. Christine immediately commenced the work for which she had been sent by God, renouncing all the comforts of life, and reduced to extreme destitution. She lived without house or fire, more miserable than the birds of the air, which have the nest to shelter them. Not content with these privations, she eagerly sought all that she could to cause her suffering. She threw herself into burning furnaces, and there suffered so great torture that she could no longer bear it. She uttered the most frightful cries. She remained for a long time in the fire, and yet, on coming forth, no sign of burning was found upon her. In winter, when the Meuse was frozen, she plunged herself into it, staying in what cold river not only hours and days, but for entire weeks, all the while praying to God and imploring His mercy. Sometimes, whilst praying in the icy waters, she allowed herself to be carried by the current down the mill, the wheel of which whirled her around in a manner frightful to behold, yet without breaking or dislocating one of her bones. On other occasions, fawed by dogs, which bit and tore her flesh, she ran enticing them into the thickets and among the thorns, until she was covered with blood. Nevertheless, on her return, no wound or scar had been seen. Such are the works of an admirable penance described by the author of the life of Saint Christine. This writer was a bishop, a suffragan of the Archbishop of Cambrai, and we have, says Bellarmine, reason to believe in his testimony, since he was for guarantee another grave author, James de Vitry, bishop and cardinal, and because he relates what happened in his own time, and even in the province where he lived. Besides, the sufferings of this admirable virgin were not hidden. Everyone could see that she was in the midst of the flames without being consumed, and covered with wounds, every trace of which disappeared a few moments afterwards. But more than this was the marvelous life she led for 42 years after she had raised from the dead, God clearly showing that the wondrous wrought in her were by virtue from on high. The striking conversions which she effected, and the evident miracles which occurred after her death, manifestly proved the finger of God and the truth of what which, after her resurrection, she had revealed concerning the other life. Thus argues Bellarmine, God willed to silence those libertines who make open profession of believing in nothing, and who have the audacity to ask in scorn, who has returned from the other world? Who has even seen the torments of the hell or purgatory? Behold these two witnesses. They assure us that they have seen them, and that they are dreadful. What follows, then, if not that the incredulous are inexcusable, and that those who believe and nevertheless neglect to do penances are still more to be condemned?